this morning. Back to what we're doing this morning. Please speak my language. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I wanted to share with you a story of that I read. It's regarding a misunderstanding. Linda Burnett, 23, was visiting her in-laws, and while there, went to a nearby supermarket to pick up some groceries. Several people noticed her sitting in her car with the windows rolled up and with her eyes closed, with both hands behind the back of her head. Kind of odd, right? One customer who had been at the store for a while became concerned and walked over to the car. He noticed that Linda's eyes were now open, and she looked very strange. He asked her if she was okay, and Linda replied that she'd been shot in the back of the head and had been holding her brains in for over an hour. Right? So now it's really odd. The man called the paramedics, who broke into the car because the doors were locked, and Linda refused to remove her hands from her head. When they finally got in, they found that Linda had a wad of bread dough on the back of her head. This is what happened. A Pillsbury biscuit canister had exploded from the heat, making a loud noise that sounded like a gunshot. And the wad of dough hit her in the back of the head. When she reached back to find out what had hit her in the back of the head, she felt the dough and thought it was her brains. She initially even passed out, but quickly recovered and tried to hold her brains in for over an hour until someone noticed and came to her aid. A misunderstanding. I mean, what initially was seemed like a very tragic situation turned out to be just a plain old misunderstanding. And as we look at this chapter, as we take a look at we're going to draw a contrast between speaking in tongues and the gift of prophecy. Both gifts, both valuable in the body, but one is preferred over the other. That's why I titled this message, Please Speak My Language, and we'll know why when we cover the last portion that we're going to go over, up to verse, I believe it's 25. But we have so many misunderstandings when we just talk plain language, let alone speaking in tongues. The whole goal is edifying the body of Christ. The whole goal is in building each other up, encouraging each other in maturity. And we'll see here that the Apostle Paul refers to the Corinthian adult Christians as children. He tells them to grow up. For various reasons, this topic of tongues is one that is sometimes avoided by some churches. If you're going through Scripture line by line, chapter by chapter, book by book, there's no way you can miss it, right? We're going through 1 Corinthians. Can you imagine me just skipping right over this part just because I don't want to deal with that? I don't know. The Lord gives us the Word of God so that we may become equipped for the work of the ministry. This is part of it. We cannot avoid it. Some churches will not practice it at all, while others will roll on the ground with holy laughter, dancing in the aisles, really crazy, and everyone speaking in tongues at the same time without any interpretation. All unbiblical and weird. How about we ignore the various religions, the various movements that misuse, abuse, or ignore the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's gift of tongues? And let's see what Scripture has to say about the gift of tongues. The way I see it is the way the Bible sees it. There's no other way. I accept it as being the authority, and I hope that you do as well. This is the authority here, the Word of God. This is the standard. This is what we go by. And I pray that this morning that you're not prejudiced in any way. That if you had any thoughts that were unfounded according to the Word of God, that you put those aside and that you're here to receive and listen and hopefully learn how it is to be used within the body of Christ, within the church. It does have its use. Tongues is a heavenly language, a spiritual gift. It edifies the speaker in praying to, praising of, and the thanking of God. Prophecy, we went over that last week pretty good, is preaching, testimony, witnessing in our daily lives. It's not foretelling the future as it is foretelling the present, as Alan Redpath said. And we'll see in our text how Paul has pointed out that prophecy, again, is preferred over tongues within the church. Why? Because it's more beneficial. It benefits and it builds up the body as opposed to the individual. And so that's why it's preferred. Now, here's what I pray for us. Is number one, pray, and number two, pray. Number one, pray for the gift of tongues. And here's why, is because it builds you up in your personal devotion time. In the time that you spend with the Lord, man, I'll tell you what, personally, I do not have the gift of tongues. But I'm going to pray even more earnestly to receive the gift of tongues. I would love to have that heavenly language for my personal devotional time with the Lord. Here's a benefit to that, in that the person who speaks in tongues, just words that you cannot express with the English language, and you're built up, guess what happens when you go out and you fellowship, when you interact with other believers? A built up believer pours out unto others. You can't help but to do that. I also, number two, again, pray. This is probably two difficult things to remember, but one, pray, and then the next one, pray. Pray even more for the gift of prophecy. The Bible tells us to desire it, to earnestly desire the gift of prophecy. Why? Because it's beneficial to everyone you come in contact with. You can be at work, you can be in the grocery store, you can be anywhere, and if you can apply the Word of God to different situations in your life, and to the situations and circumstances that others find themselves in, then you will benefit not only yourself, but also the hearer. So that's what I pray, is those two things. Pray for the gift of tongues, pray even more for the gift of prophecy. I told you what one of the benefits are, and that's in building up the body of doing so. The other one is leading unbelievers to Christ. We'll see that in the latter portion. Verse 25 makes it very clear that when we speak prophecy, that when we prophesy, that's indeed what takes place. So let's start out by taking a look at the first five verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Starting in verse 1. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more so, more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. Stop there. So, in the first five verses that we see there, we see a call to selflessness. This is coming right off of 1 Corinthians 13, which deals with being an unselfish Christian, being one that is mature, applying agape love that is inexhaustible, is one that goes beyond thinking about ourselves, but more in thinking about the other person, right? And so we have a call to selflessness. Why did Paul have to tell them that the one who prophesied is greater than the one who spoke in tongues? Probably because they were misusing it. They were abusing it. They were using it more to bring attention upon themselves and the gift that they had than building people up. And they, more than likely, because they were being instructed to not speak unless there was an interpreter, probably didn't have interpreters either. So it was used in a selfish manner. The tongues movement in our country is actually quite popular and it's widespread. But we as the church have a constructive job to do. Although those churches that are hyper-charismatic are sincere in their use of tongues, they are misguided and misinstructed and bring more attention, again, on the person and the gift than what it was intended for, according to Scripture. So the first five verses make a strong call to selflessness. We need to understand some relational realities here, as described here. First of all, the gift of tongues is for the benefit of the person speaking in tongues. We saw that in verse 2, right? We see that there. It says, "For one who speaks in the tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit." So it's for the person that is speaking in tongues. By the way, we don't find anywhere in Scripture that through the gift of tongues that there is teaching, that there's prophesying. There's nowhere in Scripture that it says that. In fact, let me give you a list, or actually the list, of Scripture references that apply to speaking in tongues. Acts chapter 2, at the day of Pentecost. Mark 16:17, when Jesus referred to the gift. In Acts 10:45 and 46, when Peter led the household of Cornelius to Jesus, and they spoke in tongues. And in Acts 19:6, when the believers in Ephesus received the coming upon of the Holy Spirit. Period. That's it. That's your list. All referrals to the gift of tongues. So although the gift of tongues is real, with real benefits, it's for the building up of that specific person. It's a beautiful gift. It's something that the Lord's given to His people just for that purpose. And to me, I find that just amazing that God would allow us to speak in a language directly to Him in that manner. Also, in contrast, verses 3 and 4 tells us that the gift of prophecy is to be used for the building up of the body of Christ. In other words, it's to build up the relationship not only between you and God, but also between you and other people. That trust is being built. Why? Not because you're uttering your own wisdom, but because you're speaking into them the very word of God. And that builds trust, and so that builds up the body. Who does not need a building up? Instruction in the word of God. Give it to me more. Right? Who does not need encouragement? I need it most of all. Who does not need consolation? It's those times when you're down that you need some encouraging words, that you need some words of consolation, of comfort to bring you through different situations. If they don't understand what you're saying, you're not going to get that. Also, we see here that the gift of prophecy is greater than the gift of tongues. And it's drawn out there. Verse 5, the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. And we'll talk about where that's appropriate. Okay, because I explained, I believe it was last week or the week before, talking about the gift of tongues. If we understand that the Holy Spirit has given me words to speak to you, so the Holy Spirit's already at work right now, which, if we would just sit there and think about it, that would blow my mind. He's doing that right now. Can you imagine if all of a sudden there was an interruption and someone stood up and just started speaking in tongues? Well, according to the Word of God, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Right? And so the Holy Spirit would be interrupting himself and communicating to his people. But then there would be a need to be a third person, an interpreter, that stood up and interpreted for that person. So that's not, this is not the right place for the gift of tongues to be expressed. But we'll talk about, in fact, we're going to talk about that in detail next week, as far as where that is appropriate. So the gift of prophecy is greater, and that's what we need to earnestly desire. So the first point was a call to selflessness. The second point is a call to clarity of communication in verses 6 through 12. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? If even lifeless instruments such as the flute or the harp do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? So, with yourselves, if with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? Or you will be speaking into the air. Verse 10, there are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. I like the example of instruments played at random. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we could go back there. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, I could sit here and hit that cymbal and just at random. For no reason, just go over there and hit it. After a while, it would be absolutely annoying. Like, Pastor, stop! Right? Stop hitting it. It sounds beautiful when Rick hits it and he's going along with the rest who are in tune, right? Who are hitting the right notes. But we have this call to clarity of communication. It's all to be done in the spirit of love. In fact, in the spirit of God. And to do so, as we express ourselves, as we communicate the Word of God clearly to others, they will understand and respond according to what the Word of God plans and purposes for the Word of God to do. But if we speak in random, not only in random in church services, but we speak in random in the gift of tongues, we're like a clanging cymbal after a while, like a noisy gong. It's just, hey, brother, sit down. I have no idea what you're saying. According to verse 2 of chapter 14, no one understands him. Right? It's just a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. But that's what the Apostle Paul was inspired to write by the Holy Spirit. We also need to be a people made ready by clearly communicating the Word of God to each other. Sometimes we get together and, there's times when we can just hang out and get to know each other. But pray that you are given opportunities to share the Word of God with each other. That in everything you apply, the Word of God, again, the gift of prophecy. Prophesying when you're talking to each other, like, hey, you know what that reminds me of? Whatever verse. You do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You know, I see that maybe you're a little down and you don't seem right. Can I share with you some words of encouragement? Your speaking into that person the very word of God. Prophesy. Let the Bible speak for itself. It says, and I love Romans 10:14. How then will they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? We should all preach the Word. Communicate the Word of God to each other clearly. Don't be that noisy gong or that clanging cymbal that doesn't do it in a spirit of love. Apply love to what you're saying, but speak it. In fact, it accomplishes what it was set out to do. Isaiah 55:10-11 says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." It's vital. It's vital for us as Christians to communicate, to clearly communicate the Word of God in an undiluted, unmanipulative manner. Sincerely speak the Word of God, giving it proper meaning. The notes of God's words are to be tuned to God's purpose. There's a standard. It's like there is in music, right? Right? There's a standard. This is what you need to be tuned to. We as Christians are to be tuned in with the Word of God. That is the standard. We need to speak it clearly. Also here we see in verse 12 that we are to strive to excel in building up the church. I said last week that the problem is that sometimes we desire, don't give me any gifts. We don't desire the gifts. Here in the church of Corinth, and some of you are looking at me like, are you serious? Yeah. Either that or you just deny your gifts. Right? I know what my gifting is, but I'm not going to say. Again, someone's going to tap me on the shoulder, you know, and I have to work. Yeah, you're working for the Lord, though. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10. Where was I? Oh, strive. You understand? I know that the Lord desires that He gives us gifts, and it's all for a purpose. We should be a serving church all the time. In one way, shape, or form, you know, we should be serving the Lord. That's the whole point. The Corinthian church, there was a problem. I mean, this is like a pastor's dream. Hey, listen, I know you're eager for the manifestation of the gift of the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit giving them out to you. But listen, you keep praying for a gifting. Pray for this, that whatever gifting you get, that you strive to excel in building up the church. So understand what your gift is and then strive to build the church of God up with that gift. But can you imagine, I mean, a church that is just busting at the seams and you have a people who are saying, you know what? God's gifted me in this area, and I just want to use it. You know, put me in, coach, wherever you want me. That's awesome. I'm telling you. So afterwards, I'm going to be standing right up here. You guys come and tell me, okay? Ephesians 4, we went over this earlier this year. We've learned that the spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. And listen to these words. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and in deceitful schemes. The world is around us and it's full of schemes. The enemy, I mean, he's just looking for someone whom he may devour. He's really good at it. He's been doing it for a long time. He knows your weaknesses, and he knows that your strengths can even become weaknesses at times. And he's sitting there ready to pounce on you. Here's the thing, is as we build each other up, as we study the Word of God, we will be mature Christians who know the Word of God, and you're immovable. I stand right here on the Word of God. I know the Word of God. That's where I stand. I will not compromise. I am a slave of the Most High, and I look forward to the glorious moment when He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant, slave." We need to be a mature people. We need to be, that's why it's so important. Let's build each other up. Let's share the Word of God with each other as much as we possibly can. Let's not let the enemy pick us off. So this is key to understanding why prophecy is greater than tongues. You get in the picture? Why it's more important? We need to strive. We need to be deliberate and intentional. Number three, as far as our key points are concerned, interpretation is good, as we'll see in verse 13, but plain language is better. Verse 13, therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? Verse 17, for you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. That's the Apostle Paul. 5 words to give instruction than 10,000 in a language that no one understands. Going back up to the first few verses, verses 13 through 15, tells us that the gift of tongues, regarding the gift of tongues, that we should be praying for the gift of interpretation. So that's another gift outside of the gift of tongues. There's the gift of tongues, there's the gift of the interpretation of tongues. Some of you know 2 languages. You know that language, but you don't have the gift of interpreting that language. This is regarding the gift of tongues, though. There's one person that's given to you, and sometimes it's both in the same person. Not only can you speak it, but you understand what you're saying. Strive for that. Can you imagine speaking another language? I mean, I'm talking, I know how to speak Spanish. But I could imagine speaking Spanish, and then what'd you say? I don't know, the other person understood me, but I have no idea what I said. I spoke clearly. I know I came across correctly because the interpreter said, I have no idea what I said. So Paul is saying, pray for the gift of interpretation, not just for the gift of tongues, but the gift of being able to interpret. Here's the thing, if you can't interpret the gift of tongues, how do you know if what's been being interpreted is being interpreted correctly? One of those things, well, that seems logical, right? Chuck Smith, in his book Charisma versus Charismania, says that he is certain that most interpretations aren't accurate. He was given a reference to, as he was growing up, he had that a lot in the churches that he would attend as a family. He said sometimes there would be a short burst of tongues, in a long interpretation. Sometimes there would be a long burst of tongues in a short interpretation. Sometimes there would be repetitions in the tongues. He said, I'd hear the same thing over and over and over again, but within the interpretation, there wasn't no repetition. It was just some explanation. And so, and he did say, you know, the way they explained it to him is that, you know, what you're hearing doesn't necessarily directly translate to whether it's short or long, or it's repetitious or not. But how does one know? Right? Unless you have the gift of interpretation. That's why we need to pray for that as well. If someone's going to interpret for us, then we need to know what that person is interpreting, and hopefully it's accurate, correct. Not only that, but the hearers can't even say amen. They can't agree with you. They don't understand. I also want to point out here that Paul qualifies himself in verse 18. He himself has the gift of tongues. He says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. So he's not speaking from a stance of being jealous or ignorance. He himself has the gift, and he knows what it's for. So he qualifies himself there. Remember in 1 Corinthians 11:1, when Paul said, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So, you know, we put that, we apply it to this, and he says, listen, you know, listen, kids, as we see here. Listen, kids, we need to grow up. We need to not insist on using that gift inappropriately. I have that gift, and I know what it's for. Need to use it in the right manner. Paul also wrote in Philippians, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others, according to Philippians 2, 3 and 4. So was Paul capable in the tongues? Yes, absolutely. He had that gift, and that absolutely benefited himself. But the interest of others was more important than himself. We also see here to speak plainly and instruct others. Verse 19. I'll just read it again and we'll leave it at this. Okay, for this one. Speak plainly and instruct others. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Let that just sit. If we can just speak 5 to each other, that would be wonderful. Christ died for you. I don't know how many that is. Is that 5? Someone's counting. 4? Jesus loves you. 3. Right? Number 4, and I tiled just this section right here, and this is, we're just going to go over this next section right here, verses 20 through 25, seek and save the lost. Seek and save the lost. Verse 20, brothers, do not be children in your thinking, be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. The law, it is written, by people of strange tongues and by the lips of foreigners will I speak to this people, and even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Thus tongues are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers, while prophecy is a sign not for unbelievers, but for believers. If therefore the whole church comes together and all speaking in tongues, and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are out of your minds? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so, falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. Peaks is to be used to pique the curiosity of the unbeliever. In Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, and you can read that again. I went back and I reread chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, those around them were, it says in the word, bewildered. In fact, they said, ask each other, as the disciples spoke in this unknown language, what does this mean? Have you ever been bewildered? What does that do? Doesn't that pique your curiosity? This is different. But then you're glued to the TV, right? It piques your curiosity. I would imagine for an unbeliever, this would absolutely pique their curiosity. What is this? What does this mean? Looking at each other, not only that, but at that time, they were speaking in tongues, but everyone from every different section that spoke different languages actually understood them. Pretty wild. What could this mean? What is this all about? And then what happened next? Does anybody know what happened next? I'll just throw it out there. What happened after this person asked this question you're asking? Do you remember? And we went over the book of Acts like last year, right? Peter stood up. He prophesied. And he led about 3,000 souls into the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He led 3,000 people to the Lord. So tongues pique the curiosity of the unbelievers. They listened. Okay, you got my attention. And Peter stood up and spoke the word of God. 3,000 people came to the Lord. That's absolutely phenomenal. In a few weeks, in a month or so, we're going to see many souls come to the Lord at the Harvest Crusade. And that's my favorite part of the whole thing. The music is great. And the preaching by Pastor Greg, I love it. But when he gives the invitation, and you see that stream of people coming down the aisles, and you see them pouring down, it just looks like they are literally pouring down onto the field. I'm getting goosebumps right now thinking about it. I'm thinking, man, heaven is just absolutely rejoicing right now. The angels are rejoicing right now in heaven. All these souls are being added. I pray you don't miss it this year, that you go. You invite someone, you bring someone with you that does not know the Lord. But 3,000 people, it piqued their curiosity, and 3,000 people were won to Christ because of Peter's preaching. So it piques the curiosity. Verses 24 and 25, no matter where you are in your life, the Word will speak to you. No matter where you are in your life, the Word will speak to you. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 4. I want to read this. If not, you can jot it down off to the side. But Hebrews chapter 4. Maybe you can underline this in your Bible or make a note beside it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is living active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." I find it interesting that during a message, I know you're all hearing the message, there are certain points to the message, but each and every person is dealing with different things in your lives, right? There's peaks, there's valleys, and everywhere in between. And it's funny, as we go over 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 25, I could be bringing across a specific message But God's doing a whole different work. The Holy Spirit's illumined the Word of God in a special way for you. You can tell me afterwards, you know, Pastor, I got this out of it. I'm like, great, that's not what I was talking at all about, but I am so glad that you were ministered to. That's the Holy Spirit working right where you're sitting, speaking to you, and bringing out His living Word to minister to you in a special way. He may just give you thoughts too, encouragement as you're sitting there. Pretty wonderful. You know, I've been in many services where that's happened. I'm sitting there, and the pastor, whoever it is, you know, speaking, and all of a sudden I just, you know what? This is good. I did not want to be here, but it's good to be here. I'm in amongst God's people. And you're speaking to me right now, Lord. Thank you. That's the Holy Spirit. For the believer this morning, it's not just a reminder of what you already knew. Okay, I've gone over 1 Corinthians chapter 14. That was a good reminder. No. It's a time of revelation. It's a time to where... Have you ever... I know someone very close to me. That it's funny. You're not in this room. That when a joke was told, it was like that person would laugh, and then about half hour, 45 minutes later, sometimes an hour, there would be this hysterical laughter that you could hear from the other room. You're like, what happened? What'd you hear? And my sister would say, oh, it's my sister. She would agree. In fact, she's here in California now from Texas. But she would say, I just got it. You just got the joke? Yeah, I just got the joke. And it was funny. It was even funnier at the time, right? But for us, because the Holy Spirit illumines the Word of God, we could be reading the same thing over and over and over again. And it's amazing how when we're going over this section of Scripture, it's like, I know he just put this in there because I have never read this. Are you serious? And it ministers to you right then and there. It's one of those aha moments, right? Oh, I got it. We need to be like children when it comes to the Word of God. Coming, expecting God to pour into you. At the same time, giving Him everything as we worship the Lord together. For people who are not Christians, there's something special about hearing the Word of God for the first time. I remember, my friend that led me to the Lord, he talked to me about the Word. I know he quoted Scripture. He told me to read certain books. But when you sit there in church and listen to the Word, really listen to the Word for the first time, there's something. I was ready. My heart was ready. My life was ready to surrender to the Lord. And I couldn't get up to the front fast enough. I had to get up there. Here's the thing. God speaks to your specific needs right then and there. You need to be saved. Knowing that your sins separate you from God, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. You hear that message and that He showed His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We hear that in God speaking to your need of surrendering your life first and foremost to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. But never, never come to church thinking that this is just going to be something else to go over. It's a refresh. No, the Lord is doing a new work this morning. Mercies are new every morning. Not yesterday, not tomorrow. Okay. That's what's exciting about our faith. But listen to this. Verse 25. The secrets of the heart, of his heart are disclosed. So that's what happens with the Word of God. He dissects us. He lays us out. And so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. When many people are sharing the Word of God at the same time, it's funny how people say, you know what was confirmed to me in Scripture was confirmed to me, what was told to me in Scripture was confirmed over and over and over and over again, because people continue to say the same things to me. They're the same verse. And it's pretty cool how that happens. What happens is people are just laid wide open, and they see where it is that they fall short. They say, this is not a coincidence. This was all by some divine purpose that this has taken place. So unbelievers fall on their face and worship God. Happened to you at one time, right? So souls depend on plain language. We don't speak it enough. We need to speak the Word of God with love, clarity, plainly, and considering the lost soul in order for that person to be one to Jesus. Next week, we'll continue in this chapter considering basically what a fellowship service is, or what you might call an afterglow. I won't explain it to you, but that is what we're going to be taking a look at next week. So again, the authority is the Word of God. Do we understand more clearly the gift of tongues as opposed to the gift of prophecy? Do we understand why the gift of prophecy is greater than the gift of tongues in the context of the church service, right, of the church? And we understand the benefits. Finally, in conclusion, I want to hopefully help you understand how important it is to speak plainly. In the Christian Examiner, we have it out here at the information table. There's this article in it. It's titled, Lutheran Braille Workers Give Spiritual Sight to the Blind. And it says that there's this man here. Desperate Ishmael decided to commit suicide. Life in Honduras was too hard for someone without sight. He tried attending a school for the blind to increase his chances for a job, but too many bad things kept happening. Then on the day he chose to die, Ishmael met a missionary. The man gave Ishmael a hot meal and built him a small one-room cement house in which to live. Now listen, the point with that, and what I want to correlate to what we're going over, is that this man was desperate to communicate, but he was blind. And even though he had gone to school, he still was not communicating. Many bad things were happening to him, to the point to where he, in desperation, wanted to end his life. It was then that God placed before him this missionary. People are desperate for plain language. Tell me, don't give me Christianese. Tell me, what does it mean to be a Christian? Tell me in plain language. My soul depends on it. And that's what we need to do. We don't need to be all ready with eloquent language for the person in order to lead them to the Lord. You just need to simply tell them what the Lord has done for you, that they too can have that peace, that comfort, that reassurance that one day they will be in all of God's glory through His Son, Jesus Christ. We need to speak plainly and not seem like foreigners or make them feel like foreigners as we're speaking to them. Their souls. There's a song by Casting Crowns, and I thought I'd share with you just a portion of it. I'm sure you've heard of this song, but just in the spirit of what we've gone over, here's what I listened to on the way in to church. What is your life song saying? Were you blind at one time? Now you can see. You were lost, now you are found. Speak plainly into others. share with them the love of Christ. Lord, we come to you this morning and we thank you for your word. I just ask that you would, Lord, your spirit would fall upon your people here, the refuge. That you would embolden your people to plainly speak your love to others. That you would bless them, Lord, with a clear train of thought, according to your word. That they would stand on your word, anointed by your spirit, and build up your church. It's all for the work of the ministry. And it's all in our hands, as you've given it to us, but used as instruments by your strength. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.